Wednesday, May 23rd, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant, independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Well, from a federal judge ruling that Trump can no longer block people from his Twitter account to the NFL officially banning players from kneeling during the national anthem, there is no shortage of moral outrage, divide and conquer distraction stories to keep the masses frothing at the mouth about how the other side has lost its mind, still failing to see that those sides are an illusion, while the real policy is carried out right under their noses, which is why you're here to see what's really going on. Now, there's a lot of stories I found to be particularly important over the last 2 days, so I'm going to begin by kind of quickly going over some of them and, you know, kind of hope that you'll take the time after the show to go back and look into them for yourself. Think of them as honorable mentions, if you will. Now, the first one is simply Iran announces plan to stay in Syria as Pompeo issues unprecedented threats, which is an interesting thing to see because I didn't expect anything else, but I think it's important to recognize that Iran is clearly saying, look, we're allowed to be here. You have no power to tell us to leave. You're here illegally, so we're going to stay anyway. And it's an interesting show of force, really showing you that people are beginning to stand up to their nonsense. Now, France is also speaking out that the U.S.'s stance on Iran is essentially putting the Middle East at further danger, which is also important, showing that even their allies are standing against what they're trying to accomplish. Now, another interesting story, a Russian airbase in Syria was attacked by drones of unknown origin, which again kind of rings true with this old story we talked about a while back about a false flag carried out under with these basically clearly U.S. drones that were manipulated to look like something else. And it kind of came out pretty clearly that it was a U.S. action designed to implicate Turkey. And so clearly we're seeing this happen again. So I don't know where this story is going just yet, but it's a new story and it's something we should keep track of, seeing that this is kind of a new edge of warfare here, these, you know, kind of false flag, unknown drone attacks. Very interesting. Moving on to another story coming from Zero Hedge, Venezuela's Maduro rejects Trump sanctions, expels top U.S. diplomat. That's a very big story, but it's not something that we need to get any further because we just talked about Venezuela, but it's interesting, again, to see how many people are beginning to stand up to U.S. actions and their sanctions and just their kind of irrational U.S. foreign policy. Now, the next one, many may balk at the fact that it's simply being skimmed over here and probably think this is a much bigger deal. And it is definitely important. And that's that the FBI planted a spy in the Trump campaign. And even further, that Trump is now announcing that he wants another investigation to investigate the investigation, which ultimately I find to be pretty humorous. But the reason I'm not covering this as intensive as many others are is I find this to be more of a kind of a distraction, ultimately. Because really, regardless of this being revealed, verify that the deep state efforts to manipulate the election were very much true, as Stephen Hapler, a CIA informant already involved in a spying scandal from the 80s against the Carter administration, was admittedly set to infiltrate the Trump administration by the FBI to suss out the Russians, of course, the connection that Mueller has abysmally failed to show, also showing us that yet again the claims of revealing his identity would threaten national security were utterly false. That phrase is the government's version of the sky is falling. Trump still carries on with their foreign policy and even confirms their first choice to head the CIA. To me, this all seems like a big show. The next evolution, the next chapter of the Russiagate distraction, allowing now the other side of the false two-party divide, the spotlight, essentially, as the war plans carry on. So it's something I think is important to talk about, but I don't think it's really the most important story that we should be focusing on because it doesn't really tell us very much new information. We know they spy on us. Many have mostly known that this has been going on from the beginning. It's just now essentially proven. We know they lie. I think this story is more of a distraction, but important to talk about, which is why I'm including it. So for the first story of the day, which is one that I think is very interesting, which I'm also going to go quickly over, it's something that is going to shock a lot of people that I've been calling from the very beginning. This is a Yahoo News story. Medical Examiner releases CDC Dr. Timothy Cunningham's official cause of death. Now, this is a story we have talked about a lot. We followed it from the beginning and from the onset. This story did not smell right to me, and that's what I said. Well before I had any information and facts, and I was clear it was my opinion, but clearly now it's beginning to materialize that there's something weird going on. Now, the death of the CDC employee, Timothy Cunningham, whose body was found in an Atlanta river last month, has now actually been ruled a suicide by drowning, according to the Fulton County Medical Examiner, which is just shocking to me. I highly recommend you dig into this story and past videos we've done, all the details. There's a lot to go over, but just the weirdness around this, how he left sick from work, how he supposedly got a promotion, but then after the fact, they said, oh no, he didn't get a promotion, and he was upset about it, almost kind of setting the stage for this. And the fact that his family didn't expect this, he left everything at home, his dog, all this different things. His family just, of course, families tend to say, oh, I didn't expect this, he wasn't this kind of person. But they're really adamant about the fact that this didn't make any sense. And now all of a sudden he leaves his car, walks all the way to a river and drowns himself because he didn't get, it just, none of it adds up. And it took this long. This is something very fishy. The fact that he was working on Zika and Ebola, all these things that have a lot of conspiratorial aspects to them about their origins and the fact that the government lies about them and the fact that the government uses them. This is a very interesting story that I think we should pay close attention to. And anybody out there doing extensive research, dig into this story. This one is very, very alarming to me that now all of a sudden, oh yeah, he drowned himself in a river. Just something's not right here. So this is what we need to pay attention to. I'm going to move forward, but I'll make sure that I cover this as it develops because it's a very, very fishy story. Moving on to the next one coming from ZeroHedge.com. Pentagon spends $1 billion to acquire more war robots. Now, this is something I continue to cover because I think it's not only an egregious waste of taxpayer funds while we can't buy school books for our children and pencils and pay our teachers. But sure, let's put $1 billion into new future robots for, you know, more effective killing machines. According to a new report from Bloomberg, the Pentagon is spending approximately $1 billion over the next several years for a variety of robots designed to complement combat troops on the modern battlefield. Yes, complement them, sure. That's where they're going with that. In addition to scouting and explosive disposal, these new war robots will reportedly be able to perform more complex tasks, including surveillance missions, detection of chemical or nuclear agents, and even have the ability to transport soldiers' rucksacks. Of course, leaving off the fact that they're ultimately trying to just replace them and use them as war machines. And I also find it interesting the connection with detection of chemical or nuclear agents. We could be seeing kind of a new phase of these false flags via robots that, oh, they can't be disputed because they're robots. Interesting. That's just my thoughts there. But clearly, this is frustrating to see all this continued wasted money when we have so much more important things to do, when we're already spending more than the next 8 countries combined on our military, which is just staggering in and of itself. And then we also see another article from Zero Hedge talking about how DARPA has drones and they're beginning plans to use them to patrol cities. Now, clearly this article is talking about cities overseas in war zones, but they make clear ties to this idea of, we already know since the Obama administration, even probably since the beginning of drone technology, it's been revealed that they're using them to spy on Americans in American cities. That's an indisputable fact. It's already been revealed many times over. Obviously, they have different logics and excuses for why it's happening, but it's true. So this also leads into this new idea of these city patrolling drones that are going to be flying over America and enforcing the law, which is something we've seen them going towards for a long time. Again, my always overarching point for this specific type of story is just the ridiculous waste of funds and taxpayer money when we already spend more than half of our taxpayer dollars go to the military instead of things that are much, much, much more important. Moving on to the next story coming from theantimedia.com, war crimes. Palestine demands International Criminal Court investigate Israel. So we recently touched on the UN's discussion of this as far as the Security Council and how basically everybody wanted investigation and the US vetoed it. And then they shifted over to the Human Rights Council where there's no veto power and you almost unanimously voted to move forward with an investigation of the Gaza killings by the hand of Israel. And still the United States, you know, protested, but they can't stop it. Now we're seeing essentially Palestine reaching out to the International Criminal Court and trying to get an actual investigation for criminal acts involved with the killing of Palestinians. Palestinian Foreign Minister Riyad al-Maliki asked prosecutors at the International Criminal Court on Tuesday to launch a full investigation into accusations of Israeli human rights abuses on Palestinian territory, saying the evidence was insurmountable. Maliki submitted a referral giving the prosecutor at the Hague-based court the legal basis to move beyond a preliminary inquiry started in January 2015. He said, quote, "We believe there is ample and insurmountable evidence to that effect, and we believe that proceeding with an investigation is the right and needed course of action." The court's prosecutors launched an initial investigation into allegations against Israel when the Palestinians first joined the court in 2015. Tuesday's referral allows that investigation to proceed to the next stage of a full investigation without waiting for a judge to give approval. Israel, of course, rejected Tuesday's move as legally invalid, saying the court lacks jurisdiction because the Palestinian Authority is not a state and Israel abides by international law, which I find it humorous they even have the gall to say that out loud. Israel said, quote, "The Palestinians continue to exploit the court for political purposes rather than work towards resuming the peace process with Israel. It is absurd that the Palestinians' actions vis-a-vis the court come at a time when Palestinians continue to incite acts of terrorism." Just what a mashup of just nonsense and manipulation there. Just basically lying about everything they essentially said there. At the very least, they're not doing that on their end. Now, I mean, not only is Israel completely refusing to cooperate with the near unanimous decision to investigate the Gaza killings, but it has made numerous public statements in the past about never seeking peace with Palestine. So this is an effort by Israel to distort the truth, plain and simple. This is ultimately directed at those who kind of blindly buy into the mainstream propaganda. This is so they can kind of sit back and say, see, Israel wants peace. The Palestinians are terrorists, despite all of Israel's actions showing the exact opposite.
Defense Minister Moshe Yaalon talking just a couple of weeks ago. Israel is going to hurt Lebanese civilians, to include kids of the family. We went through a very long discussion. We did it then. We did it in the Gaza Strip. We are going to do it in any round of hostilities in the future. That's the Defense Minister. This is the Military Chief of Staff, Benny Gantz. The next round of violence will be worse and see this suffering increase. He headed up the military assaults on Gaza, the last two. This is the Minister for Education in the Netanyahu government. There will never be a peace plan with the Palestinians. I will do everything in my power to make sure they never get a state. He also said, if you catch terrorists, you simply have to kill them. I've killed a lot of Arabs in my life, and there's no problem with that. This is the Minister for Justice. Palestinians are all enemy combatants. This also includes the mothers of the martyrs. They should follow their sons. Nothing would be more just. They should go, as should the physical homes in which they raised the snakes. Otherwise, more little snakes will be raised there. That's the Israeli Minister for Justice in the last few months. The Israeli Minister for Deputy Minister for Defense. Palestinians are beasts. They are not human. The Minister for Foreign Affairs, C.P. Hotley, this is the last one. My position is that between the sea and the Jordan River, there needs to be one state only, the State of Israel. There is no place for any agreement of any kind that discusses the concession of Israeli sovereignty over lands conquered in 1967. Now, these are the official statements of several ministers of the current government of Israel. In one case, actually advocating genocide of all Palestinians, including children, and calling them snakes. Now, can I ask you, Taoiseach, do you not think that if we're defining terrorism, that is the language and thinking of terrorists, that it is absolutely unacceptable in civilized politics, in civilized international relations, for the heads of government of a state that we carry on normal relations with and who you met in Paris to advocate those sort of views when we know they have also led on to the deaths of thousands of Palestinians, innocent men, women and children?
The International Criminal Court has the authority to hear cases of war crimes, genocide and crimes against humanity committed on the territory of the 123 countries that have signed up to it. But big surprise, Israel nor the United States have joined the court. Just a perfect example of how they apply these things to everybody else but don't do them themselves. It's hypocrisy. And a perfect example of that is the nuclear aspect that we've talked about quite often. So we have Israel refusing to join the ICC and be held to the standards of it, and it also refused to abide by the Non-Proliferation Treaty for nuclear weapons, claiming nuclear ambiguity, which nobody else has the right to. and the U.S. refuses to join the ICC, which I find very interesting point there, and it also seemingly ignores the Non-Proliferation Treaty, or the NPT. This is hypocrisy, ladies and gentlemen, pure and simple. Now, within the NPT, non-nuclear weapon states agree never to acquire nuclear weapons, and the NPT nuclear weapon states, in exchange, agree to share the benefits of peaceful nuclear technology and to pursue nuclear disarmament aimed at the ultimate elimination of their nuclear arsenals. So the U.S. can seemingly use the NPT against other states, even while it clearly is in no way pursuing nuclear disarmament, quite literally the opposite. Yet neither are many others, but those many others are also not trotting around the world with moral righteousness, demanding that everyone else adhere to the treaty that it is itself in flagrant violation of. So it's just very frustrating to see how this plays out, whether we're talking about the International Criminal Court or the Non-Proliferation Treaty. It's just ridiculous how they're holding everybody else to these standards, or rather the U.S. is, while allowing Israel to not take part in any of it. There's just a very, very clear bias here. And I don't know, those that can't or won't allow themselves to see it, that says a lot. You need to stand back and look at what we're talking about here. And if you're looking at it through the lens that, you know, some people are evil and some people are fighting for good, that's just a very childlike way to view the world. That's not what's happening here. Moving on to the next story, coming from mintpressnews.com, Israeli airstrike hits boat at Gaza port as it prepares to meet 2018 Freedom Flotilla. Not long after the 2018 Freedom Flotilla, carrying politicians, activists, journalists, trade union leaders, artists and performers, professors, faith leaders, representatives of student organizations, embarked on its journey from Scandinavia to the largest open-air prison in the world, Gaza, Israel attempted to thwart its plans by striking a boat in Gaza City that was preparing to meet the flotilla upon its arrival. No casualties have yet been reported from today's Israeli attack. Locals claim the boat was targeted because it was planning to meet the flotilla on its way to Gaza. Israel maintains a naval blockade of the Gaza Strip, which has prevented aid flotillas carrying food and basic humanitarian supplies like toilet paper, clean water, and school items like crayons and pencils from reaching shore during previous attempts to help the nearly 1.8 million Palestinians affected by the siege. Israel, however, maintains that the airstrikes were in response to a group setting a fire at a military post. Seriously, as if that, even if true, were a proportional response. In recent years, numerous attempts have been made to reach the Gaza Strip by boat, but the vessels have always been seized or forced to turn back by Israel. The most notable example being the assault on the Freedom Flotilla, originating from Turkey in 2010. In May 31st, in 2010, Israeli commandos stormed the flotilla of ships while it was in international waters. Some of the unarmed passengers resisted Israel's attempt to hijack the ships, resulting in a firefight that killed 9 Turkish citizens and injured nearly 50 additional passengers. Interesting Turkish aspect there, considering how Turkey is speaking out today against Israel, that may play into his decision-making process. Israel blocked the ship's radio communications during the attack, clearly to hide what it was doing. Immediately following the attack, the flotilla was escorted into an Israeli port where passengers were held in detention facilities before being deported. Think about that. These people weren't doing anything wrong. They weren't breaking the law. They were simply trying to deliver humanitarian funds to people that were suffering. And this is how Israel responded. Think about that. Now, this is just yet another show of unprovoked force, or unjustified if you buy Israel's flimsy excuse, with no accountability or repercussions. But hopefully the many investigations and probes into their war crimes will finally be seen to fruition, and their overtly malicious and irrationally hate-fueled actions will finally catch up with them. And by them, I mean the Israeli government and not the average people. Moving on to the next story, coming from thefreethoughtproject.com, Ron Paul, Republicans, Democrats, teaming up for a federal gun confiscation bill. In an email Tuesday night, former Congressman and presidential candidate Ron Paul released an ominous statement claiming that a source they have in the Senate revealed Democrats are teaming up with Republicans to push through a massive gun control bill. That's very important. Now, first of all, this is information being quoted by the Free Thought Project. There's no access to the email, so we're taking their word for it, but this doesn't surprise me at all. And clearly, this does also demonstrate the ridiculous connection between both sides of the false two-party paradigm coming together to do exactly what they ultimately want to accomplish. We have to begin to see past this two-party nonsense. According to their source, as Paul explained, quote, Senators Marco Rubio and Lindsey Graham are teaming up with Dianne Feinstein to ram through one of the worst nationwide gun confiscation schemes ever devised. That's a pretty big statement. I tend to really, truly believe in the integrity of Ron Paul. So if this email is indeed true, it says quite a bit about what could be coming. Now, we'll have to wait and see what actually happens, but this is a pretty big deal if they're really claiming to confiscate guns for Americans despite their constitutional rights. Now, the gun confiscation bill, according to Paul, is designed to disarm Americans without any due process. The senators are using the recent tragic shooting in Texas as the impetus behind the law, in spite of the fact that this law would not have prevented the shooting at all. As Ron Paul explains, this removal of due process could soon be a federal law. Under so-called red flag or risk protection orders, anti-gun family members, neighbors, or associates could have your guns taken away based on mere accusations without any real due process or trial. In a secret court proceedings where only your accuser is present, judges could determine that you pose a, quote, significant threat to someone, including yourself. Imagine your surprise when a heavily armed SWAT team arrives to seize your lawfully owned firearms. It would then cost you tens of thousands of dollars in court costs and weeks or even months to try and convince the court they made a mistake. Now, this is exactly the scenario that Donald Trump advocated for in February, saying, I like taking the guns early, take the guns first, go through due process second. Clearly a constitutionalist there for all those, you know, heavy-handed patriots out there defending Donald Trump. Now, this is very interesting, as the article makes a clear point in saying that this is not advocating for somebody who's actually mentally ill to be able to access guns. But the point here is that there is a fine line. They're basically mushing it all together and saying that you can just simply, it reminds me of the idea of these welfare checks where someone can simply say, oh, well, he's a danger to himself. All constitutional rights go out the door. They kick in your door and deal with everything later. And it's also used by police, verifiably so many times in the past, to simply get in your house and search around, claiming that they think you're a threat to yourself. This is alarming. Now, again, I haven't seen the actual documentation for this verifying that this was an email from Ron Paul, but I find it hard to believe that they would report on this from this outlet and not have that information. And it also doesn't surprise me that this is where it's leading. Clearly, they've been advocating for this, coming out right after these shootings within hours, calling for exactly this. So it's something we have to be paying attention to, be leery of, make sure that we are not, you know, being led down this path due to emotional responses, which is what I always say. These shootings, whether hoax, staged, planned, or otherwise, are always used to push us forward in an emotional direction for exactly this kind of measure. So very interesting. I'll follow up on this when I find out more. Moving on to the next story coming from the ntmedia.com, slow motion genocide. Indonesia is bombing West Papua and nobody's talking about it. In May 2016, a fact-finding mission conducted by the Brisbane Archdiocese Catholic Justice and Peace Commission reported that West Papua was experiencing a slow-motion genocide. The report also warned that West Papua's indigenous population is at risk of becoming, quote, an anthropological museum exhibit of a bygone culture. The culprit behind these atrocities is none other than the Indonesian military, which has long received immense protection from the United States, as well as from regional allies like Australia, which is pretty much a lapdog of the United States today. Rather than withdrawing its support for the practice of wiping out the victims in West Papua, these countries continue to enable Indonesia as it carries out numerous atrocities, which receive zero coverage in the media. Now, this article goes on to list a lot of different things. As always, with everything we're talking, this article in particular, I highly recommend you read these in full so you can get the full extent of what's going on here. Now, the reason this conflict typically receives close to zero media coverage is pretty simple. West Papua is home to one of the world's largest gold mines and the third largest copper mine, known as the Grasberg Mine, which is majority owned by the American mining firm Freeport McMoRan. The mine has reserves worth an estimated $100 billion, and the American company is reportedly Indonesia's biggest taxpayer, hence the cover from the Indonesian military. Now, I've talked a lot about the two-party paradigm and how that is one of our biggest issues today, keeping people kind of closed off from reality and blinding them from the truth. But a topic that I find to be just as important, if not more, is this foreign policy hypocrisy and the fake humanitarianism that goes with it, and how it seemingly covers for these war-focused genocidal actions around the world, and how the U.S. just blatantly ignores the overt war crimes of their allies. It's just something we have to begin to point out, and we have to continue talking about without end as we see it continue to be carried out around the world. Now, the world is finally actually gathering the courage to call these things out, but we as Americans must also have the courage to do so, unless we want to be everything that the world has been conditioned to see us as by this unelected power structure trying to hang the blame on our engineered shoulders. Apathetic, lazy, presumptuous, entitled. And I know that's not the true face of many in this country. So we must fight to spread the truth and ensure we overcome that stigma placed upon us by the very institutions claiming to fight for the American people. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.